MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
All right, let's move now from water to money. And even with a more positive inflation outlook and a repo rate cut of 25 basis points, cash-strapped consumers are still being offered extended loan terms on everything from home and vehicle finance to even cell phone contracts. But instant gratification may be leading to massive debt traps that will keep consumers paying for years, even after the shine of that new car has waned. Now, we spoke about this issue a little earlier in the week with ABSA. I want to give you another view now, because we do consider it important. And we're in conversation with financial journalist Maya Fisher-French. And Maya, firstly then, what do you think are the biggest risks that consumers are facing when opting for extended loan terms?
I think the problem we're facing is that we're committing too much of our future income to something that we've bought in the past. And one of the big things, Jeremy, I see is that people forget about the fact that one day their children are going to go to school, they're going to have school fees to pay, they're going to have university fees, and suddenly they're locked into these incredibly long-term commitments. You know, if you're buying a car over 6-7 years, you know, for the next 6-7 years, you have a commitment to pay back 10,000-12,000 rand a month, and you have no idea what other expenses and other things that you're going to have to face and deal with coming forward. So I think for me, it's locking you in to something going forward that, you know, that's going to have a huge impact on some of the other goals in your life. And I think that's the risk for me from a consumer perspective.
Do you think banks do enough to warn people of the dangers, or is it simply a debt trap in disguise, but there's obviously benefit as far as they're concerned because of interest?
I think that, you know, when I look at vehicle finance, for example, it is mostly sold through car dealerships. So I think that's one of the challenges, right? Now, you know, you can argue, Jeremy, like if there is a place for a 30-year mortgage. You know, if you're a young person struggling to get in the market, it makes it a little bit more affordable. And then as your income increases, so you can perhaps increase your repayments to that mortgage, you know, and actually effectively reduce it back to a 20-year mortgage. I can kind of see a place for that. I do not see a place for paying off a car over 72 months with a balloon payment, except that you are going to buy a car, a more expensive car, right? A car that you probably wouldn't normally be able to afford. And that is very much pushed at the dealerships. There is a huge, obviously, benefit to them to convince the consumer to buy a car on those terms. So, you know, I see it all the time. You walk into a dealership, you think, this is the car I can afford, but this is the car I want. And the dealer says, no, don't worry. The car you want, you can actually afford. We'll just push the payments out further. So I think a lot of that is happening at the sales, at the point of sale, rather than perhaps at the bank level.
So it's just about our avarice sometimes and our gullibility. We've also got to be a little bit more careful as consumers, is what I think you're saying.
Absolutely. It comes down to you. We cannot blame everybody around us. I mean, if you walk into a car dealer, they are trying to sell you a car, and they're going to try and sell you the most expensive car they can. You can't blame them. That's actually their job. They've got their commissions they have to meet. You know, you have to walk in with some sort of sensibility around these things. And I do think we as consumers are quite quick to blame the banks and to blame everybody else around us, when actually they're giving us what we want. And maybe we need to start saying, well, you know, what is sensible and what commitments do I have going forward that are going to be more important to me than this more expensive car? I think we also need to catch a wake up and stop blaming everybody for our financial position.
But Maya, sometimes it does come down to personal cash flow management. And the question then is, consumers need to navigate a decision between choosing shorter loan terms with higher monthly repayments, difficult for some, versus longer terms with lower payments but higher overall costs. The point I'm trying to make is sometimes we have little choice in that respect.
I think sometimes people also don't understand that trade-off. So I think that there is a way that we can present information. And in fact, there's a lot of studies that have shown, I've actually been reading a study by the EU where they put different loan agreements in front of consumers. And depending on how the information was depicted, they made different choices. So I do think that we need to be more aware, and we need to be made very clear. Rather than you will only pay 1,000 rand a month, for example, it should say the total cost of this will be, you know, 50,000 versus 70,000. And so that people have it, that's the first number you see, rather than the monthly installments. I think there are ways of presenting information that makes the consumer more aware of the actual cost of it. So I think that is part of it. And then, yes, certainly we do sometimes have to make decisions around, okay, I understand this is going to cost me more in the long term, but right now, this is my affordability. But then, Jeremy, it goes back to that point I said at the beginning, which is maybe if you're buying a home and you're a young person trying to get into the home market, I can understand that as a good reason. But to own a 30,000 Rand iPhone as opposed to maybe a 5,000 Rand one that you can buy and take a lot, now you're making decisions and choices that are not perhaps the most sensible.
And particularly when it comes to cell phones, because they are rapidly depreciating assets.
Well, completely. And I must tell you, I have actually bought my last cell phone secondhand, and it's going and it's absolutely fantastic and it works really well, but you can pick it up secondhand, you know, relatively for a relatively lower amount. So yes, they depreciate. There is literally no reason to go and buy an expensive phone. And I think one of the big things that creditors have done, or credit providers have done, is they've gone and made these lump sum big expenses look cheap. By turning them into a monthly installment. And I wondered, Jeremy, if you had to save for a phone, would you honestly go and draw 30,000 Rand out of your savings account and buy a phone with it? I don't think so. I think if you had the cash, you would probably say, even if you had the cash in the account, you would say, wow, that just feels like a lot of money. But when we turn it and we do these sort of fake economics with it and fake maths, we turn it into something that says, oh, well, it's only costing me this per month. And I think that is where credit providers have become very, very clever.
Yeah, Maya, you're also preaching to the converted here. I would be more than happy to keep using my 1994 Nokia, but no one's interested anymore. Do you think, Maya Fisher-French, as we start to approach a rates-cutting cycle now with the announcement yesterday, that consumer behavior might change in any way because there will be a little bit more liquidity?
I think for most people, this is just breathing space. I think they have literally been sort of at, you know, just at the precipice, you know, financially. So what I would like to see, obviously, and I hope for those people who have mortgages or even car finance, but certainly it's easier with mortgages, is that if they can afford to keep their repayments at the current rate, because that actually has a huge impact on their ability to pay off their home loans sooner. So especially, say, for example, you are somebody who took out a 30-year home loan because of affordability. If you can maintain the repayments at the current rate rather than dropping them with the, you know, as the interest rates cut, you can take off 4 years, you know, for example, off your mortgage. And I think those are some of the ways that we can use the rate cuts if we have a little bit of liquidity. But I think for other people, that little bit of extra liquidity is going to go to paying off short-term debt. People have really accumulated a huge amount of short-term debt over the last 2 years, as you know, as it's become harder and harder to make ends meet. So I'm hoping to see that people using that to really get rid of some of their debt.
But the prism is also being skewed slightly by the advent of the two-pot system.
Oh, the two-pot system. Yes. I think we are concerned, obviously, about how that money is being used. You know, I do know people who've come to me and they said, Maya, I cannot meet my debt repayments. Would it make sense to take my two-pot payment, you know, amounts? And I think there are people who genuinely, you know, I've used that to really pay off debt that perhaps was going to actually see them go into sort of legal action against credit provider, you know, by credit providers. And maybe there has been some of that. And I think there definitely has been some of that happening. But when I have heard people going off to renovate a kitchen, to take the family on holiday, and I, you know, obviously I'm deeply concerned about that. And I think we will see, and we know the retailers are expecting a little bit of a better Christmas because of it. So maybe the retailers and the shareholders and all the companies of the retailers will certainly be better off, but not necessarily the consumers.
Some really good advice there. Maya Fisher-French, thank you very much indeed.